Anytime. This is Gamecock Athletics Director Ray Tanner, and you're listening to 107.5 The Game, WNKT-FM, Eastover, Columbia.
The man can one throw take? His voice. Listen to that. Yes, he did it in one take. That was a few trips ago for Coach Ray Tanner here inside the E.F. Martin Heating and Air Studios. He is now back live. I'd throw you for a little pun intended here, a little curveball. You like that?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Captain Dave knows what he keeps us all on our toes, no question. Welcome back into the halftime show along with Tommy Moody. I'm Jay Phillips. Captain Dave is indeed at the master control switchboard here inside the E.F. Martin Heating and Air Studios, and Coach Ray Tanner is our special guest here on this Friday afternoon. He, like everybody else, surviving the weather. And you asked us just now, did we survive in here yet? Tommy and I had to, we were okay. We watched it get, you know, like 9 o'clock at night, dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon the other day. And we had to holler at some Nimrod who went about 40 miles an hour down Gervais going west.
We couldn't even see the cemetery when everybody, he's going 40.
Everybody else is like going, you know, 5, and this guy in the right hand lane closest to us, he was flying.
Was he in a boat?
No, he was in a big silver pickup, and I think he must have thought either it was a beautiful day or he was in a boat. But anyway, we survived. We're okay. You did too.
Yeah, Mr. Bloom and I were talking about coming over to see you, and I said, you know what? I'm not sure I want to be with those guys in that studio
right here
when that window caves
in.
Yeah,
we got double pain, so hopefully we'll be all right. But it's a beautiful day today, if a little bit brisk and windy out there. So you hadn't been up too much in the last month, have you? Just kind of hanging around the house?
I just relaxed and had my feet up. Good. You know, it was an exciting month. It really was. I paused a couple of days ago and looked at the calendar, and I said, I missed quite a bit of time, man. Where have I been? And, you know, it started out, you know, with the women's tournament in Greenville, then the men's tournament in Nashville, and we never stopped. We hosted the first and second round for Coach Staley here, and then Coach Martin took off, you know, to Greenville. Then to New York, she goes to Stockton, and we ended up in Dallas and Phoenix. So it was really an exciting, a special run, and couldn't be – more happy and excited and proud for our men's and women's teams, and what Coach Staley was able to accomplish winning the national championship was incredible and a very special time. And Jay, I tell you, the support that we had, you know, the people that traveled all the way to Phoenix, and then a lot of those people traveled over to Dallas, you know, at the end of the weekend to be a part of the national championship. So it was certainly one of the greatest weekends ever in athletic history.
I've spoken with you a lot about the relationships that you have with your head coaches, and many of them come into this room and tell us the same things about how supportive you are. And again, it takes nothing from your predecessors, simply that you have been in their shoes when many of the folks that have done it have not. As you watch Dawn do what she's done, did you ever kind of recollect to how hard you had worked and maybe getting close but not quite getting there? You know, I mean, you played for a national championship, and then it took, what, 8 more years before you won a national championship. She's been in the Final Four as a player. She played for one as a player. Did you feel a sense of a connection, a camaraderie, like, hey, it, you know, the payoff is sweet when it takes a long time to get there?
I did feel a lot of those emotions, you know, and 2 years ago she was in the Final Four in Tampa. So the success in her program has been as good as anybody's in the country, you know, except maybe a couple of games here and there with UConn. But, you know, I always try to say to student athletes and coaches, it's not about the ultimate winning that last game, which we did. What it's about is the opportunity to be successful in that moment. It's hard to win at that level, the final game in any sport, especially coming through the Southeastern Conference. But getting excited about the opportunity to be on that stage, and you saw what Frank's team did when they got on a roll and could beat anybody. And then what Coach Staley did, and, you know, we lost Elena Coates. I mean, she was out, you know, at a critical time of the year. And Coach Staley changed the way she approached the game, and it was impressive. But there was confidence and performance at a high level.
And, Coach, I had some people mention to me by social media and up close and personal that, Mississippi State did you guys a favor. They knocked off UConn, so the path is clear now. But so then you're talking about beating a team 3 times that beat UConn. That's an incredible preparation by Coach Staley's team. And you mentioned the coaching philosophy of her has had to adjust with the loss of Elena Coates. It just doesn't get any better than that.
It really doesn't. And you know, being in the game for a long time, being around sports, the winning three games against a great team like Mississippi State, that gives you concern. But I know that we had won 10, so we were trying to win 11 in a row, and it was even more difficult to sit there. And when Mississippi State made that run, you know, basketball teams make runs. And when they made that run, I started wringing my hands a little bit.
And they were too good not to make a run.
Yes, and somebody sitting in front of me said, "Are you having a difficult time?" I said, "I'm having a moment. I need this run to stop." But we were able to stop it, and we ended up winning by 12.
Yeah. Well, I seeing you on TV a couple of times there in that picture, and I was like, you know, coach is being a coach right now more than anything. But you just mentioned the thing, and again, as a coach yourself, and so successful, when Dawn and the staff did have to transition midstream, even later than that, really, how they play basketball, to take us through what a coach goes through and knowing that, wow, my one of my two best players is done for the rest of the year, and I still got to go do something big.
Well, you immediately have to make sure that it becomes a positive change. You know, you experience the negativity with the loss of a great player.
You have to sell your team?
You have to make sure the confidence level is where it needs to be, and the culture, we're going to be fine, we're going to be successful, and that's what Coach Staley's all about. She's all about, you know, being able to adjust and make changes when she needs to, and she did. Some people got an opportunity to get minutes they didn't get before. She changed her style of play. She knew exactly what she was going to do, and it worked to perfection, and people stepped up, and it was very impressive to watch.
You've been in a part of the Olympics. It's almost a loaded question here for you. It's a softball question for you, for a baseball guy, but to know that Dawn, we kind of knew it was coming, that she was going to be named the Olympic coach, and yet, like any news you get, when you get it and you let it sink in, how special is it for you as her boss and as someone who, again, has led a United States team?
Well, it's extremely special. And she and I had some conversations along the way with her investment as a former player with the USA national team. And then she became a coach. And I had asked her on a number of occasions, are you in a position to become the head coach in Tokyo in 2020? And she would always say, well, I'll be in the mix, but I'm not sure that I will actually get the name as the head coach. And I sort of followed it along the way, and I kept thinking, how can it not be her? She's the one it should be, and it did come to pass. But I'm excited for her, certainly proud that she's our coach and she'll be representing the USA, but certainly she'll be carrying our brand with her as she ventures to Tokyo in 2020.
10 minutes after 3 o'clock here on this Friday. Quick timeout, a Masters update coming up. Plenty more with Coach Ray Tanner as well. Halftime show continues right after this. Welcome back into the Halftime Show, 12 minutes after 3 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. Game time comes your way next. Gamecock baseball tonight, 6:45 airtime with Tommy and Derek on the call. 7 o'clock first pitch over at Founders Park. And then noon tomorrow for that one. So don't forget that. But Heath coming up with game time after we are done here today. Coach Ray Tanner is in studio. You heard me with that story at the end of the last hour with the grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are obviously not your favorite ballpark snack, but are you one of those, like, you know, was your mouth always full of sunflower seeds in the dugout? Or
well, I did do the sunflower seeds. I never engaged in tobacco, but I did sunflower from time to time. But you know, Tommy's talking about popcorn. I mean, come on, you go to the ballpark, eat a hot dog, don't you?
I don't call that a snack. I call that a meal.
Popcorn's a snack. That's a good point.
It depends on the size of the person, perhaps. What'd you think of Tim Tebow hitting that? I know you were at your ballpark last night, but I was over watching that. I figured that's a once in a lifetime novelty type of thing, and lo and behold, the dude hits a home run.
Well, you know, Charles Bloom, we were together last night at Founders Park, and he, you know, how he's up to the minute on everything that happens in the world, not just in sports.
Yes,
but
he
said Tebow just hit one out. I said he must have hit it into the with the wind going the opposite way. And sure enough, he said it went out to left field.
He gave it a ride. I think as a coach, you'd have been proud of him going opposite field with a little jack. He's got to learn how to hit. And as I've said, I had a guy kind of take us to task earlier. We got to talk about somebody else. Like Gene Cohn. I say your guy, Chad's guy, Gene Cohn, four walks last night from the leadoff spot, scored two runs. Mets got to be thrilled with something like that.
Well, Gene Cohn is very patient. He was when he played here. So on base percentage is big. But give Tebow credit. He also homered his first at bat in Arizona Fall League, if you remember. Yeah. So he's got a long way to go. Baseball is not an easy sport. Michael Jordan tried his hand at it, and it was difficult.
It can be.
Hey, I'm wishing Tebow success. I mean, he's He's following a dream. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Not one thing at all. More with Coach Tanner. We'll talk baseball and men's basketball, too. Masters report coming up, brought to you by Fuddruckers, South Carolina Department of Corrections, McDaniels Acura, and Coosa Golf. Hey, we're back. Sorry, live radio. More coming to you from Augusta in less than a half hour's time. And an exciting day over there. I'm glad they got that Sergio thing fixed. That's, the Masters.
That was confusing.
Well, they will not be happy about the fact that there was some type of error, a human error like that, relative to just a golfer not doing it right. But Tommy and I got to watch the replay of that shot on 15, that second shot, where he almost eagled it. But good stuff from Sergio Garcia. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of the afternoon. Coach Ray Tanner is with us here for his regular monthly visit. Always appreciate that, accompanied by one of our favorite guys, Charles Bloom, who keeps things running smoothly for us all across USC Athletics. Coach, let's talk about Frank Martin right now. The word I kept using was surreal, and this is from a kid who I've said many times, I wore it on my sleeve a little more than I typically do, but in watching Mike Dunleavy and Alex English and then hoping and wishing and a few tastes here and there, and then all of a sudden, it's not so much the Marquette thing. You just want to win a game, and so you win a game, and then you get the shot at Duke, and then you beat them, and all of a sudden it's real. But I kept using surreal. It's not that I didn't have faith or confidence in their ability, but they were a 7 seed. They were playing the odds-on favorite to win the championship, and then it became the whole why not us mentality that is I think fueling your athletics department quite well across the board. How did you feel about what happened when they beat Duke?
Well, it was tremendously exciting. I mean, you've got to, pause when you talk about Duke basketball or North Carolina basketball. Krzyzewski and Roy Williams, they're two of the best in the business, and they're not that far away from us, so we hear a lot about them. But their programs are very, very special, and for us to have an opportunity to match up with Duke and do what we did, that was a special moment for us. But, I'll say this, Jay, I thought we were really good all year. Mm-hmm. I thought we had a good team from the beginning. I mean, we kept battling Kentucky and Florida for first place in the league. And, we had a lull toward the end of the year where we had a couple of close games and didn't go our way. We were 3-6 in our last nine, but we were still really good. We had the 4 overtime game against Alabama, which probably it took a lot out of us.
It was another half of basketball.
It was too much basketball at one time, and that might have – cost us a week and a half or 2 weeks. But that being said, we were pretty good all year long. And then when we got to the stage, having not been there for a long, long time, and we were really good. And things started to come together, and our defense was great all year, and it gave us some opportunities to win games. And the confidence level went up. The guys coming off the bench contributed. And, yes, I'm biased, but I don't think there's that many coaches in the country that have the in-game savvy, the ability to help a team win any more than Coach Frank Martin does.
Second halves in that tournament were, all of them, even the loss to Gonzaga, were extraordinary.
Well, it's crazy because, I'm a fan at heart, and, I got to the point that if we were down 6 or 7 at halftime, I felt good about where we were.
Right.
I felt good. Coach Martin, he had us right where he wanted
exactly.
us. This is the way you draw it up. And, we took the 2-point lead out in Phoenix against Gonzaga, and now I'm thinking there's magic in the building. And then somehow they throw in a 3 that's not supposed to go in that lodged up against the rim and the backboard and somehow fell in. I thought it was a bad shot. That was a big shot by Gonzaga.
Yeah. I just about lost my focus at Auburn because they had a brand-new TV in the radio booth for us, had moved our radio booth on the other side from where it was before, and just a great setup there for the visiting radio. And Andrew Kittick and I, in there, and I'm back up my chair just a little bit. It has its own rollers, and I back up a little bit, and it's 62-48 Gonzaga. And I'm thinking, my focus needs to be right here on baseball because it was a good run in men's basketball. And not 5 minutes later, I back up and look at the screen, and we're winning the game. And I'm thinking, how in the world, in just a couple of minutes' time, did that happen?
And it was about 3 minutes.
It was a turnaround. That was the run that we made.
Tommy and I had Joe Fisher from Vanderbilt on a little bit earlier today, and one of the things he said, just as an overall theme about Southeastern Conference basketball, is that right now, a coach in another part of the country doesn't want to play a team from the SEC that they hadn't seen, and that encapsulates Frank's run through the tournament. I mean, and when Mike Krzyzewski, who you just lauded as we all should, said that was the best defensive team we've seen. I mean, 65 points, Coach, in that second half. But again, every second half was tremendous. But I think Joe's spot on. And again, as a coach who game plans, when you hadn't seen somebody, no matter what you may watch on film, doing it in person can be an entirely different ball of wax.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think that when you talk about Southeastern Conference basketball, I mean, the conversation in the last few years is we're a little bit better than we get credit for being. Well, we get five teams in this year, and Commissioner Sankey made some changes at the top. He hired some people, brought into the league, Mike Trangisi being one of them, Dan Leibowitz, another one, and some things were adjusted. Our schedules are different. But one thing that is worth noting, with five teams getting in this year from the Southeastern Conference, we were the youngest conference in the country. So let's hope that you know, that number grows in years to come.
You know, the projection already, for those who pay attention to it, Joe Lunardi says six Southeastern Conference schools will make it next year, including South Carolina. He has Alabama joining the ones that made it this year. So take that as you will. All right, I'll ask you the tough questions right now. You have one national championship coach and you have a Final Four coach. That likely means that pretty soon you sit down to discuss their futures. What kind of conversations do you have with Frank and Dawn about moving forward?
Well, my conversations are simple. We want you to be our coach.
Right.
You know, that's where it starts. And I believe they both feel the same way. But, you know, I think that it's important that, you know, when you have a special year like we've just had on both sides, and Dawn winning the whole thing and Coach Martin been in the Final Four, that, you know, you say all the right things, but your actions speak as well. And I will be moving forward with trying to do some things a little bit different with their contracts. And, you know, neither one of them have ever jumped on the drum about, you know, how much they make and this, that, or the other. They haven't been that way. But I think it's important. It's important to our Board of Trustees and our president that we keep our coaches where they are. So I will certainly do my part as we move forward in the next few weeks.
I think a bonus for both those basketball programs, a Final Four team and a national champion, is the fact that Dawn Staley and her players, Frank Martin and his players, they showed total class all the way. There was I don't remember any unsportsmanlike behavior. If you look back over the whole course of the season, I don't remember any.
Well, you bring up a great point. Not only did we have good basketball, we had teams that were winning, but we had personalities on display. We had culture on display on the national stage, and it was all positive, and people enjoyed it. People liked it. And, you know, both Coach Martin and Coach Staley are very much engaging in the community. They were nationally with the media and everything, that all the commitments that go along with playing on that platform. So it was certainly a great time for both of our programs.
It was, again, as somebody who grew up around here, it was a lot of fun to watch. And now the hard part, right? Making it happen year in, year out.
Well, there's nothing wrong with expectations.
No, absolutely.
I don't think that you look at expectations and not meeting them as being disappointments.
Right.
But I think that, you know, for programs to be successful, whatever sport that you're talking about, the expectations have to be there. And that's where it all starts. And you're not a failure if you don't meet them. But you have to live in a world that we do have expectations.
Well, to that end, then, let's switch to baseball, because I don't have to tell you what the expectation level is every year. It's Omaha or bust for a lot of Gamecock baseball fans, and I know you're fine with that. I know Coach Holbrook is fine with that. And a year after not making the playoffs, which was difficult for everybody, back into the Supers. But here this year, certainly losing to Clemson is not something anybody wants to do, and the loss at Auburn was difficult. You lose a one-run game to another conference rival last night. I'll say this from my perspective, and then you take it wherever you want to. I hear a lot of negativity about Coach Holbrook. A lot of it, Coach, in my opinion, stems from one thing, that he took over for Ray Tanner, and he's not done what Ray Tanner has done. How difficult is that for you, knowing what you know of Chad, his baseball acumen, the kind of talent he has, and those level of expectations, to see that there's a faction of your fan base that is not happy with the job he does?
Well, I think that we go back to what I just said a couple of minutes ago. It's about expectations, and Coach Holbrook wasn't having it any other way. But I was a head coach for 16 years here. You know, he's only in his fifth. So you go back to the 4 years that he's been the head coach. Two of those opportunities, he was in the Super Regional with a chance to go to Omaha. It's not an easy thing. I can't certainly speak for him, and I've traveled a lot, and I miss some games. But I don't think we've played our best baseball yet, although they've, I think, won 13 out of their last 17. Right. And I think it is worth mentioning that teams go through injuries, they have adversity, and you have to move on. But when you have a young man like Tyler Johnson in that bullpen, who's been on the shelf now for, what, 16 games, I mm-hmm. guess it is, and hasn't participated in an SEC game yet. He can make a difference, and you'd like to think that, you know, if he's healthy and ready to go, he's going to decide a game or two on the weekend. So, I know that Coach Holbrook's not happy, you know, where he is maybe being 6-4 in the league, but it is a league this year that's beating each other up.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem anybody's running away and dominating the league, and I think there's some great baseball ahead of us. Like to get TJ back in there and making some appearances, but he has a really, really talented team. And of course, Tommy's with him every single day. But the games that I've seen, even last night, you know, we made some mistakes, and you know, we battled to the end. We had a tying run on second base when the game ended.
He has quality depth. I think there are three or four, five, maybe even six guys that you can plug in the starting lineup on a different given day, and they'll get you a big hit. And it's happened already several times this year. But you take the field at Tennessee, and you don't have two All-America pitchers. Clark Schmidt, a preseason All-American, and Tyler Johnson, Team USA closer. And you go up there, and Tennessee at that time was 12-2. They had beaten Loyola Marymount. They had beaten Cal Irvine. They had beaten some real good teams out west. And they were feeling great about themselves, thinking that they had finally gotten over the hump, and the Gamecocks go up there without two All-America pitchers and dominate the series.
Well, I'll say this. You know, it doesn't matter if it's baseball, if it's basketball, you know, whatever the sport may be. When you play in the Southeastern Conference, it's difficult. It's a challenge. If you can get through the league and get to the postseason, it doesn't matter exactly whether you finish first in the regular season or you finish fourth. The key is you get to the postseason and maybe you're playing your best at the right time. I can remember a year back in, I think it might have been 2004, we had to fight to the very end to finish fifth. We were like in seventh place going into the last week of the year. We won a couple of games. We finished fifth. We finished third in Omaha.
Right.
We had because you play, you get battle tested in our league. You know, the key is if you can be playing your best at the right time. And I know we have a really good baseball team. There's some talented young players out there. And hopefully, you know, down the back stretch, we hit our peak and we play our best at the right time.
I think a guy who was extremely close with you, Jimmy Valvano, I think when he won a national championship, I think they finished fifth in the ACC that particular year and got on a roll.
Survive in advance.
Yep.
What you got to do. Ray Tander with us here, Gamecock Athletics Director. Quick timeout, a Masters update about 15 minutes away. More with Coach right after this. Welcome back into the Halftime Show. You'll hear this one at Williams-Brice coming up in the fall. Or you can download it. Sugar Hill Gang, Apache. Welcome back into the Halftime Show. Alongside Tommy Moody, Jay Phillips here. Captain David, Master Control. Coach Ray Tander, our special in-studio guest here today. Back to him in just a second. Hey, fantasy sports fans, have you heard? FanDuel has launched fantasy golf. Now, you had to get your team in for Augusta yesterday, but don't worry. Golf season is really just getting underway. It's easy. You pick eight golfers for your team. You stay under the salary cap. You get points for eagles, birdies, pars, and more. Something for everybody that starts at just $1. Next week's golf contest will be back in the FanDuel lobby on Monday. But, Tommy Moody, it's also baseball season.
Yes, it really is. Baseball. We've got fantasy baseball. You got fantasy basketball. You got fantasy baseball, and fantasy baseball is back. Don't miss out today's $250,000 MLB Grand Slam special with $50,000 for first place. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. You can experience the fun and excitement of fantasy sports like never before. Try fantasy golf. Try fantasy baseball. Try both. To get you started, new users will get FanDuel's combo 5-pack valued up to $50. That's 5 free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. Just finish in the top half to win cash.
And to get those free entries, just go to FanDuel.com, hit the Join Now button, and enter promo code HALFTIME. That's FanDuel.com, promo code HALFTIME. Void where prohibited. Have fun and good luck playing FanDuel. Coach Ray Tander with us here in the E.F. Martin Heating and Air Studios. We were just talking about the Learfield Cup standings. That is the overall athletic department standings around the country. And
it's strong standing
pretty
for Carolina
good stuff
right now.
14th in the country. You know, I ask you a lot. Again, this goes back to your relationships with your coaches. You put a lot on them. You put them in good position to succeed. And I think these kind of things, these are facts. These are not opinions, starting to pay off.
Well, I'm excited about where we are. This is the end of the winter, and that's a pretty good place if we can finish there or a little bit higher. But keep in mind, it's the halftime score. You know, right. we got that all those spring sports on there, and we typically are pretty good in the spring. But, you know, you always hear me talk about position. It's about the opportunity and investing in our student athletes and coaches to have an opportunity to win, do the things you need to do on the field, on the court, in the pool. And certainly being a student athlete, the student part is first and foremost, and it's paramount. But they all deserve an opportunity to achieve at a high level as they compete. And we've done a lot of things in the last 5 or 6 years. Eric Hyman started the ball rolling, Mike McGee before that. And that, I think, when Dr. McGee was the AD, it was the highest finish ever back at 2001, 2002, back in those years. And I hope we can stay in that position. But it's exciting for our university, and certainly what both basketball programs recently did, you know, making it to the end, the Final Four is special. And McGee Moody's team was 15th in the country on the men's side.
McGee, one of our favorites, and Coach Bill McDonald's golf team back in. He was with us a couple of times this week talking about what's going on over in Augusta. So, again, you've hired some good ones and put them in a good position.
And among the top 29 in the country, 8 from the Southeastern Conference. Kentucky is 8, South Carolina is 14. Then you got the Florida Gators, the Texas Aggies at 17 and 18. Missouri is 20, Georgia is 24, Arkansas 27, and Alabama 29. That's strong.
I love it when you mention us before those other schools come.
Me too.
Speaking of this, as the basketball teams made their runs, how often did your phone ring from fellow ADs wanting to either A, congratulate you, or B, understand the secret?
Well, you know what? I tell you, it's been fun being a part of the Southeastern Conference in the AD's room, if you will. You know, when Commissioner Slive was there, and he was great, and then Commissioner Sankey. But there is a lot of camaraderie among ADs, and we take a few jabs at each other from time to time and send a few texts and make phone calls. But it's been exciting, and they've all, you know, reached out, and I did the same when their teams were playing. And you really do pull for each other. You know, I mean, it's great for the league, and you compete so hard during the year. You don't like playing each other,
right,
but you certainly compete, you know, when you're out on a national stage and playing against people in the NCAA. So it's been very special for us, and just an incredible run. It's been exciting, and don't forget the parade now on Sunday.
Yeah,
we got
Sunday,
the parade
3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, and who knows, 40,000,
50,000. Saw Mayor Benjamin last night. He's excited and ready to go.
It's his parade.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're gonna have a good time with it. Commissioner Sankey is also coming to the parade.
Good.
That's
yes.
awesome.
Yeah,
good.
I spoke to him a couple of days ago, and I his schedule was crazy, so I didn't know if he'd have an opportunity to come, and he's absolutely, I'll be there, so... So he's going to be in the parade, and he's going to have a speaking role.
Hey,
so
right.
It's great for the University of South Carolina.
That's very cool. When you look at where things are for you right now, and again, trying to strike while the iron is hot. You know, we were talking with Wes Mitchell, who does a lot of our recruiting stuff, you know, about Frank being able to grow the brand. And Charles Bloom, who's with us here, is responsible for a lot of those types of things. You know, Seeing what you saw of Frank Martin on Good Morning America, you know, again, Dawn Staley as the coach of the Olympic team. To me, Coach, as again, a lifer and an alum, I get a little put off from people around the country that say, oh, South Carolina, it's just, you know, it can't be done there. Or, yeah, they got a nice little thing going. I say to people, if you come and you look and you see and you talk and you watch, you understand that what's going on here is not some cute little school the little engine that could. There's a lot more going on around here. How do you feel about that perception relative to what we now see as some reality?
I've been here for 21 years. If I believed it was anything different, I wouldn't be here. I mean, and that's the way I feel about the University of South Carolina and what we stand for and what we're all about. And, you know, I when I first got here, I kind of heard it too. You know, we joined the SEC, what was it, 1992?
Yeah, just right before.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to hear some of those things, but we're maybe not where we were in the beginning. You know, we're not the longest tenured program in the league, but we're a good program. And in any particular point, we can play on a national scale. You know, that's what it's all about in the postseason. I love our position, and I think that we have an opportunity in all of our sports to succeed at a high level. You can do it all the time. No, it's too difficult. It's too hard. But the opportunities, I believe, are there, and we have the people in place. I'm a strong believer in continuity and consistency. I'm not afraid to make a hard decision. I'm not afraid to stand up in a room and say some things that people don't want to hear. But I don't believe that, you know, you have to fire coaches every other year just because maybe it wasn't the greatest year in the world. I think it sets you back in many cases. And,
right.
And I see that often, and a lot of times I don't agree with it. At certain times, that's part of the process. But I also believe if you have the right people, the consistency will win out in the end.
Yeah. As far as the support of the fans, I always like to go back to Lou Holtz's first year at the University of South Carolina when he went through 17 offensive linemen and six quarterbacks to try to win a football game, and yet the average attendance was close to 80,000 per game for a team that couldn't win one.
And that's never lost with me. Our fan base, our support, our loyal donors. The times that I was a coach, there were many, many, many days where I felt that if I wasn't at my best or my team wasn't at our best, that the fan base was going to take over for us. And we have tremendous fans. As I mentioned, the people who traveled with us to Phoenix and Dallas at the end in women's basketball, very, very special. They do make a difference. I was visiting with some recruits today. I said, this isn't like a lot of other places that you will visit as far as the support you're going to get. And it does enable our student-athletes to achieve at a higher level.
And I've seen even some things from some of those current recruits that do speak to some of the analysts out there, that it feels different and they get a more genuine sense of what's going on around them here in Columbia. I know as a baseball coach, you had never gone to the College World Series as a head coach until you took a team. I'm curious. I know you're not a head coach now, but had you ever been to the Final Four or in those experiences? I guess you've been to the women's, but had you ever been to the men's Final Four?
Never.
Okay.
I'm kind of strange about a lot of things. You know, being an athletics director, you do get some opportunities to take some nice trips and do some things. Being a member institution in the Southeastern Conference, you do. And I call those boondoggles. I think that you have to be there with a purpose.
Right.
And, you know, it's like when I was a coach, I never wanted to go to Omaha because I thought that I could only go if my team took me. Was I going to go out there and just, you know, walk around and be envious that I didn't have a team with me? So I don't do a lot of boondoggles, but boy, did I enjoy Phoenix and Dallas.
Well, and we talked to Derek Scott about that the other day, and he said, you know, even for the regional setup from Greenville to New York City, but then when you were at the Final Four, you knew you were at the Final Four.
Yeah, it was exciting, and I had the opportunity to go back and forth, you know, between Phoenix and Dallas, and I'm just telling you that the NCAA, I know that from time to time they take a lot of shots about things, but when you're playing in an NCAA championship or a Final Four, it's very, very special. And the student-athletes feel it, the coaches feel it, and only one team comes out, but everybody feels like a winner, and it's a great environment to be a part of.
All right. Had you ever been to Phoenix?
I had only been to Phoenix briefly, but I was very impressed with the city of Phoenix.
Pretty town. Sky Harbor Airport's amazing.
Yeah, very, very, very nice. And I got into the Diamondbacks one day when I was out for a walk. I snuck in. What a beautiful facility. And Dallas as well. So it was great to be a part of postseason basketball at its finest.
We'll have a few more minutes with Coach Ray Tanner coming up after another Masters report. And, again, want to remind you about everything going on this afternoon. Heath Klein coming up from 4 until 6:45. As soon as we're done here, Tommy will head down to the ballpark, and he and Derek have Carolina baseball tonight against the Vanderbilt Commodores, 7 o'clock first pitch tomorrow at noon. And then we'll have full Masters coverage from Westwood One tomorrow afternoon and all day Sunday as well. So plenty more to get to here on 107.5 The Game throughout the course of the weekend. Our next Masters tournament report coming up here in just a few seconds, and brought to you by Fuddruckers on Bush River Road, the South Carolina Department of Corrections, McDaniel's Acura on Killian Road in Northeast Columbia, and our good friends at Coosa Golf. We're back after this. Welcome back into the Halftime Show. Jay, Tommy, Captain Dave here. A couple more minutes. I used to marvel at Steve Spurrier's ability to recall specific game instances. Wade LeBlanc is pitching right now for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Coach Tanner just talks about a 10-inning game. Who was pitching in that one?
Matt Campbell.
Yeah. Against
two lefties.
Yeah.
Two guys that look the same.
Yeah, and then you went into a few other names on some of those things. So how often do you find yourself remembering specific game things anymore?
I do that
only
quite
when
a
you
bit.
Need
I
to.
Forget what I did like an hour ago,
yeah,
but I do remember certain moments, you know. And
I figured that out, the long-term, short-term thing as you get older.
I'm hitting that. Yeah. I'm hitting that full stride.
Have we had a player whose breaking ball broke more than Matt Campbell's? I don't think so.
No, when Matt Campbell was throwing the curveball like he was capable, he was basically unhittable because the ball never stayed on the same plane. It's hard to hit a baseball if it doesn't stay on the same plane. And he had so much rotation on that breaking ball, which gave him a chance to be a high draft pick.
Right. About a minute left here. A good crowd, but I think a smaller crowd than typical for a spring game, only because, A, some of your fans were at the Carolina Cup. A lot of your fans were in Dallas or Phoenix. And I think a lot of fans, Coach, didn't want to be tailgating knowing they had a 6 o'clock Final Four game to go watch. Nevertheless, I think there's a lot of reasons, especially on offense, to be optimistic about what Will Muschamp's got.
Well, I got a chance to talk to Coach Muschamp prior to the spring game and, you know, what we were going to do. And, you know, it was – we almost changed the date. I mean, we were, right. You know, they have their sequence of practices, and we almost snuck it in a night or two before the Saturday. They ended up playing the game because of what was going on in basketball. But he was pleased with the crowd. He felt like that, you know, it might have been more than even was announced. And, you know, he had some recruits here that day. But we do have a chance to have a special offensive team. So we'll see where we go. But
I think it's going to be an interesting year for him. Congrats on everything that's going on with your basketball programs. You're running a heck of a department over there. And, again, the Learfield Cup standings prove what's going on. So
what a year it has been.
Kudos to you so far, and we'll talk to you again here real soon.
Thank you. Just keep it going.
Yes, sir. That's Coach Ray Tanner. Appreciate his time. We'll see you all Monday. Have a great weekend.